Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
See that huge hole in the building of the Trade Center, both buildings standing at the time. You can see that where the plane, it almost looks like it came through the entire building.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
We got a 10-13,
the victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror.
We heard a big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, everybody started running out. We saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere. People were jumping out the windows. Over there, they're jumping out the windows, I guess, because they're trying to save themselves. I don't know. And I don't know. Everybody just doesn't know where to go. They won't let. Everything is blocked off. You can't even tell us to get out, but there's nowhere to go. And then I heard that another plane hit. And if you go over by there, you can see the people jumping out the window. They're jumping out the window right now. Oh, my God.
The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them. Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America. With the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and help in any way they could.
This is war. And we will do everything in our power together to make sure that terrorists never, ever again can create this mayhem, this chaos, this violence against our people and our country.
I say to our enemies, we are coming. God may show you mercy. We will not.
This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you. Good night. And God bless America. Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Wow. And can you believe that it was actually 9 years ago when America was under attack by terrorists? It almost seems like kind of like a dream in a way. Anyways, good morning. It's Saturday, the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and welcome to my show. Cliff, unfortunately, he's still in the hospital. He just recovered from having a quadruple bypass and a stroke. He's doing pretty good now, and he should be back in a couple weeks. If you'd like to join the show, I'd love to have your phone call, 646-721-9887. We have a couple of people in the chat room. Chat room is open. Welcome. And we should have a guest coming in probably about 20 minutes into the show. But I wanted to give a quick shout out to Nick and Lynn from Nick and Lynn's Politics Conservative Corner for inviting us to be on his marathon last weekend, on Labor Day weekend. It's a 3-day event that Nick and Lynn put together supporting seniors, the less fortunate, and the poor. He managed to organize 24 individual blog talk shows to cover that 3-day event, and I'm very honored to have our show as being one of them. So, again, thank you, Nick and Lynn, for inviting us. 9 years ago, September 11th. Wow. Who can actually believe that our country was under attack? In fact, let me just go to a quick little summary here and a quick little story. Just after 8 a.m. Eastern time would be the time that we would never forget, because that was the morning when Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked 4 commercial passenger jetliners and intentionally crashed 2 of them into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City and 1 of them into the Pentagon. It only took 2 hours after the impact for the Twin Towers to collapse. The fourth plane, United Airlines Flight 93, after some of the passengers and flight crew attempted to retake control of the aircraft after hijackers had redirected it towards Washington, D.C., crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, killing all on board. It was those heroic acts of the people on board that aircraft that prevented another disaster. The United States responded immediately by ordering all aircraft out of the sky, and President Bush was rushed onto Air Force One to take command of the situation. In disbelief, the realization that America was under attack was frightening. The final death toll was 2,996, including 19 of the hijackers. President Bush vowed at that time that we will make no distinction between the terrorists who commit these acts and those who harbor them. To hunt down and to find those who committed this act. It is not enough to serve our enemies with legal papers. The terrorists and their supporters declared war in the United States, and that's exactly what they got. The United States responded by launching the war on terror and invaded Afghanistan to dispose of the Taliban, which harbored Al-Qaeda terrorists. And this was the beginning of the USA Terrorist Act. And as we are still in the hunt for bin Laden, again, it's a day that hopefully, we will never forget. What was disappointing, and again, if you have any, if you'd like to call in and add to this, I'd love to have you on there, 646-721-9887. When you dial that number, you can listen to the show, by the way, on that number, and when you're ready to join the show, just press 1 on your handset, and the hand comes up on my board, and I'll say hi and introduce you by the area code. I remember that day. I play stocks as kind of make a little bit extra income, and on CNBC, they announced that the towers were under attack by an airplane that had crashed into it. I rushed into the living room and quickly threw a tape in, to record it and went ahead and woke my family. They were in total disbelief and thought I was just making it up. What was very sad and disappointing on that day, which I heard in news broadcasts later that day, is how many people that were calling into the TV stations complaining that their shows and their football games and other television programs were being preempted by this event. In fact, to me, that's totally shameful that we've actually got into this type of a country that we're totally immune to the dangers of the world, that we've, in our bubble wrap existence, that this is what we think of, that, you know, don't bother me with the fact that our country is actually under attack. I was watching a special on the History Channel last night about 9/11, and they were bringing out some other news items that I wasn't aware of. And one was a story from this airline pilot that after Bush and FEMA had ordered, the first thing they did was ordered all the aircraft to be grounded, which was a very, very, very smart move on their part. And this airline pilot was telling that they were just getting ready to taxi for takeoff. And when they diverted back to their staging area, a couple of Middle Eastern men ran out of the aircraft and ran down the tarmac. When they investigated their luggage, they found that there's a huge amount of Al-Qaeda things in their luggage, you know, false IDs and other, I want to say paraphernalia, I don't know if that's the right word, but basically because of the quick response of the United States grounding all those aircraft, apparently more suicide attempts have been averted. Excuse me. I was also very proud of President Bush at that moment. I was not a firm believer of Bush, and in a way, kind of still am not. But shortly after the attack happened, when Bush addressed the nation, he came out very strongly, along with others, as you heard some in the clip. And for a while there, I'm proud of my nation anyways, don't take this wrong. But the fact that we came out with a firm stance that we will not ever take an attack on our shores lightly and responded with a firm hand for a change. I even heard on news broadcast later in the week that some of the other countries, some of our enemies, were actually a little bit nervous about us now. Instead of always being a paper tiger, you know, going overseas, going into war, making it a career, and having people that just, you know, we had no teeth. We politicized it so bad, kind of like the way we've done it now, in my opinion. I remember back when, I think this was Carter era, when there was a lot of beheadings, a lot of kidnappings, and there was this one time where, I can't remember which group it was overseas, but they had both Americans and Russian citizens that they were holding for hostage. The Russians came out and said, release our people now or else. Well, when the Russians speak, people listen. Americans, unfortunately, is, well, what can we do to negotiate the situation? And it's, excuse me, it's really embarrassing. One moment, please. Getting back to the 9/11, although I did not know anybody there when it happened, I did have the opportunity in one of my previous jobs of talking with people. One of my clients, he was right across from the 9/11 as it took place, and as he described the events, the horrific events that happened, He had to break off the conversation early because he just couldn't hold it together like I'm trying to do now. Just hold it together. But a lot's changed since then. We've tightened our security. It's now a lot harder to get onto an airplane thanks to increased security. There are other measures that are in place like more secure driver's licenses, which Oregon had to reluctantly join in the group or into the requirements, or they were going to get their highway funds withheld. We still have a long ways to go as far as our security and securing our borders. But again, that's another show. Again, I'd like to encourage you, 646-721-9887, because I'm sure you don't want me to spend an hour doing a monologue, and I don't think I can do that. But I also wanted to touch real briefly, because it's in a way it's related, is the preacher Terry Jones and his threat to burn the Quran and the response that it is having nationwide, actually worldwide. I think it's just kind of interesting that with the mosque being, was it 600 feet from ground zero, and the Quran, in both situations, we're being told by the Muslim world that this is what we are going to do with our country. Ayman, who is the coordinator of the mosque, said that if he would have known that it would have created this much turmoil, that they would not have placed it in the location that they were thinking of. But he says now it's too late to move it, as it would create a national security event because the Muslims would be insulted and would riot. Just like now with Reverend Terry Jones, who has decided to not burn the Quran, but apparently there is already riots over there in the Muslim world, as they consider it a huge insult against their God to burn the Quran. But what's also very interesting, on a side note, about Terry Jones, is that Petraeus, Obama, and others have called him and requested that he do not burn the Quran, that it would create increased terrorist activity. In fact, the world was put on a terrorist alert for today in case that he did burn the Quran. And what changed his mind was a high-ranking government official that called him yesterday, and suddenly it's like, okay, sure, I won't burn it. And, of course, I have no idea who that high-ranking official is. It's been kind of left out of the news mix. There's been some rumors that that was Ayman from the for the mosque, and that they made an agreement that you don't burn the Quran and I'll move the mosque. But there's other news reports stating that that is not necessarily the case. So who do you believe? But the whole point is that I understand that this could be something that could intimidate the Muslims over there, that could endanger our troops. But I'm also kind of ashamed in a way that we are letting them kind of, in a way, run our country. We're so afraid of coming out and saying something, because you've heard it a long time, that this might offend the Muslims. Okay, well, I'm sorry. We can't run around on tippy toes worried about if we're always going to offend the Muslim group. I'm not putting down the Muslim people in general, but you've seen the news reports, you've seen the riots, you've heard it, that we can't say this, we can't do that, we can't, because we might offend the Muslims. Now, I don't agree with Terry Jones in the fact that he wanted to burn the Quran, to be straight, because I don't think it was the right thing to do. But I will defend his right under the Constitution to burn that Quran if he so wishes to. But look at it this way, folks. What if, just think of this for a minute, what if that high-ranking official ordered him not to burn the Quran? It can happen. It probably has happened. You know, they could threaten him with an IRS audit, threaten him with jail, threaten him with a whole bunch of stuff that they have under their power. I mean, you know, look at Al Capone. We couldn't take him down. Who took him down? The IRS. What was it that made Terry Jones change his mind? And if it was being threatened by the government, what does that do for our freedom? Are we kowtowing just because some other group overseas is saying, I may be offended? Well, you don't see us rioting in the streets when they burn our flags or burn our Bibles. Sure, we don't like it, but we're not going to go over and wage war against them because they burned our Bibles. And they're not afraid of us. You know, don't you burn our flags over there. Don't you burn an image of our current sitting president. Don't you draw cartoons making fun of our country, because we're going to be offended and we're going to riot. No, you don't see that. Now, of course, in this country, if you threaten our football, well, that might be a different situation. But in this day, which I hope doesn't go like Memorial Day, where I had a conversation with one of my coworkers who asked me, Memorial Day, what is it? Why should I care? All I know is a day off. She was around mid-40s and didn't know what Memorial Day was. Now, is that the failing of our teachings in schools? Or is that just the way society is going right now, that people just don't care? I'm sure there are some people today going, why should I care about the fact it's 9/11? In fact, for that matter, why isn't that 9/11 a holiday? If they're talking about having days off for remembrance, 9/11 should be one of those days. Because this, what happened 9 years ago, folks, should not be forgotten. We should never, ever be put in a position as a terrorist attack again. And more so, in our bubble wrap, keep everything safe and quiet and all goody, goody, goody society. People should be reminded of just how dangerous of a world this is. And we can work to change that world. But we can't if we just sit on our hands. And that's something I will say that I am very proud of in our country. Because we do come together in a disaster, when it's either 9/11, Katrina, or any other natural disasters. We even offer our services around the world. And to give kudos to some of the country, because we hear a lot that we do help a lot of people, but we don't get anything in return. Unfortunately, I don't have the list in front of me, but there were a lot of countries that did offer their services in the 9/11 attacks to help us rebuild, to help us in the disaster. But there's, thanks to Obama, and if you listen to the previous programs here, you know where we stand on Obama. But thanks to Obama, he unwillingly got people motivated to get involved in their country again. Whether it's the tea parties, the coffee parties, people are actually starting to say, enough is enough. We are tired of the direction that our country is going. We are tired of giving everything away. We're tired of opening the borders up and letting just anybody come over. And we're going to take our country back. And I think that's a good thing. And I don't think that it's just Democrats or Republicans. I think as one person, I heard this on talk show earlier this week, and after I got to thinking about it, I got to thinking, you know, this is really not a bad idea. He says, instead of just going, okay, we're going to vote all the Democrats out because it's always the Democrats' problems, you know, what we need to do is send a message. His suggestion was his vote all the incumbents out. Even if you like the person that's in there, vote them out. You can reelect them again next time. But vote them all out, because this is the only time, this November and on the main elections, the only time that they're going to listen to us. So far, our voice has not been heard. Take the health care bill, which in 2012, you're going to be losing your refund, because unless you have qualified health care, you're going to be paying a penalty at the end of the year. We can't afford it. We're barely struggling as it is. And even our own, and this is embarrassing, every important politician in Oregon here voted in favor of that health care bill, including Ron Wyden, who was one of the deciding votes in Congress on that bill. He recently, a couple of weeks ago, announced that he wants to have Oregon opt out of that bill. It's like, I guess he finally read it, but that's beside the point. I think the reason why he's really changing his mind is because we as a nation, we're standing up and we're saying, no more. We're tired of giving everything away. We're tired of our lack of security. We're tired of our open borders. We're tired of apologizing for just being Americans. We are losing our country, our ways, our history. You know, I never thought it could happen. Our history is written. They're changing our history in the books. What they're teaching our kids today, they're changing it. And we're allowing this to happen. But thanks to Obama, people are starting to stand up and they're just starting to say, no, we're not going to put up with this. Anyways, 31 minutes left in the program, 646-721-9887. I'd love you to call in, and if nothing else, tell us what you think about 9/11, what memories you have. It's really easy to do, and trust me, once you call the talk show, if you ever call the talk show before, it's addicting. That 646-721-9887. Love you call in. And of course, the nice thing about live radio too is that when you're expecting a guest host to call in, sometimes they don't. That neither be here or there. So I may be cutting this off just a little bit early, because I'm sure you don't want to hear me rant and rave for a whole hour. But any suggestions that somebody may have, I think that personally, I'm going to get back to the mosque for just a second. I don't think that the mosque should be built as close. I think it's an insult, especially that it was Muslims that attacked our towers, that attacked our country. It would be like us building a Catholic church or Christian church somewhere near their temples, or having Japan, for example, with Pearl Harbor, building something over there as their, like a religious thing over in Pearl Harbor. It's an insult. It's an insult to those nearly 3,000 people who died. It's an insult to the people that got sick and died later, those unsung heroes that you don't hear too much about, the rescuers. This day needs to be remembered. We need to show, I don't know what they're showing in schools. If anybody knows, I'd love them to have to call and tell me. What are they teaching in schools regarding 9/11? Are they showing the videos? Or is it just some watered-down story that we're so afraid of our children to see, which reminds me, that's the other thing that I heard too, is that there's complaint that images of this attack will create nightmares for our children. Well, I hate to say it, but maybe that's what it should be. Our children need to be aware. These are our future leaders. They need to come out of the bubble wrap society and see what the world really is and what they can do about it. They're the ones that's going to be continuing carrying the ball, so to speak. And they're the ones that's going to have to deal with the politics and everything else that we have laid forth to them. So I really, really hope that our schools, the educational institutions, are not watering this down, are not sugarcoating it. I don't have children, so unfortunately I don't know what their teachings. In fact, I don't even know and have not heard from my friends who have children if they're even discussing it. I would hope so. But they'll probably say the same thing, just like the Pledge of Allegiance. There'll probably be a controversy over that, too. Anyway, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to call and share your experience, your opinion. Especially if you have an opinion on the Reverend Terry Jones and his burning the Koran. Do you think he should? Do you think that he should burn the Koran, despite what the Muslims are thinking? He advertised it on his Facebook page, which, by the way, I tried to go to this morning, and I noticed it's down. His Facebook page is gone. But thanks to Google and their way you can look at things on their cache, you can see the final comments before it was taken down. Why is it down? Did he decide to take it down, or was he told to take it down? As I say, it'll all come out in the wash, but very interesting. People in the chat room, what do you think? Should Reverend Terry Jones, should he have burned the Koran? Or should he have decided not to? Well, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of close this up here, because otherwise it'd just be ranting and raving. But I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and kind of sharing this special 9/11 broadcast, and just to let the people know that they're still in our hearts. We'll never forget this day, and it should not ever be forgotten. And, yeah, one moment, please. We have a caller. Area code 916. Since I hit the right button, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm sorry I didn't catch your name as you're introducing yourself today. So sorry.
That's all right. My name's Robin.
Hi, Robin. I've been listening to your show. Thank you again for the remembrance, the way you started your show. I agree with you in just about everything so far, your feelings about what happened in New York and at the Pentagon and Flight 93 and their obvious sacrifice, their courageousness. And I wanted to add a little bit of information, maybe going a little backwards here, starting with, if you don't mind, with your comment about the website for Pastor Terry Jones, they had made the statement, and which they can do, the web hosting, I guess it's called, the service that hosts his website. They felt that from the review of his content that it contained a series of statements that they felt for their service, it violated the contract. And they referred to, I guess, the hate or, you know, reference to religion, and which, you know, under all contracts and terms and agreements with different services, you know, each party has to honor what is signed on, you know, what service you pay for. I just wanted to make that clarification that certainly they have the right to do that. I just thought there would be a lot of response to him and his need to be online, that there would be more people stepping up and wanting to help him get back online.
Yeah, you would think so, because I'm looking at the cast portion of it. He's got over 18,000 followers.
Uh-huh. And you'd think there would be a lot of techies out there that would show him the way to get back and for all of us to follow along. I don't agree, absolutely, I don't agree that stepping up and saying at any point in any of our lives, in any country, and I've traveled, that we should be declaring we want to burn someone or another religious person's beliefs, not at any time, but we are at war.
Right.
I don't understand why most Americans don't understand that.
I think it's
George
because
Bush
it's,
declared it. We're there, you know. We're out there. We're at war.
We are at war, but I think what it is, and you, I think you hit the nail right on the head. We don't see it here in the U.S. unless you have actually traveled to other countries. All we care about over here is football. Out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, as a culture? Yeah.
As a culture.
Our daily way of life.
Yeah, unless you have children over there or unless you've been over there, it's like, okay, well, you know, we're going to send some troops overseas, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. What else is on?
Even after the attack in Texas? Can we really pretend that all we have is football? Why is that? There were a lot of families affected by that attack in Texas, in the military base. He was Muslim.
Exactly.
What more do we need?
Exactly. And I don't know what...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm excited.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to say that I think that Terry Jones might have wanted to step back and look at what it would mean just on the human level and then next on his spiritual responsibilities in declaring he was going to burn another faith's book and then step up a little higher and look at it and say, okay, how will it affect my son, my wife, my church, my community, everyone around him, and then, you know, go all the way up to the community, which is the United States, and this is, you know, separating the whole illegal irresponsible membership that we have in the United States, because I'm calling that a cult. I mean, we are protecting them. At least Washington is protecting the illegals for their political gains. We know that. But I think Terry, the pastor, should have taken enough time besides prayer to just logically look at our times, to look at the policies that we have in place. We are already at war. What instead would be more impacting? You know, what instead would be more impacting if he really wanted to, as he kept saying, using the venues that was given to him, the media that was given to him, why couldn't he have said, America, wake up? Can we convert the Muslim community? Can we ask the Muslim women to take responsibility over the lives of their children? And why can't the Muslim women say, you cannot use our mosque for an arsenal? You cannot use them for a place in which to dial out to American Airlines or to other European airlines or to African airlines to make it over to Afghanistan and train my child. No, you can't take my child to train him for anything.
Right. Exactly.
I
well,
think
there has
if he
been
could have thought about it, there would be another way for him to reach the people in New York to say, I'm with you, I'm a church person, I'm here, we're big enough, we want to support you. So what if we're only 50 members? What does that mean, really? What does that mean in a number? We have the genuine interest not to see. We're genuine. We're real. We're sincere. We don't want a mosque two blocks from ground zero. That's my opinion. I think he could have done this another way.
Well, I think, in my opinion, he's doing it in frustration. A lot of people, the unions, the workers, I think the governor was in favor of it. But a lot of people came out and said, no, we do not want this. And then we have our leader, our president, come out saying, well, you know, freedom of religion, whatever, you know, you can go ahead and do it, blah, blah, blah. And the word just isn't getting out that the majority of people feel that, no, we don't want it there. Mm-hmm. So he probably felt, okay, how can I send a message that would really get people's attention? And going after their religion, their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, it's also how can one man, I mean, he's a parishioner of, 50 people?
Mm-hmm.
To actually ruffle the feathers of worldwide like he did.
Mm-hmm. It makes an impact. It doesn't, the number, I think that's what we're caught up here. I keep hearing you referring to the what did you call it, the bubble wrap or the plastic wrap?
The bubble wrap society.
I like that. I really do, Robin. I think that's fabulous. It really pictures us perfectly. Bubble wrap. I think it does. It really does. But it's true that he does not represent in the greater scheme of this bubble wrap society what we expect. We always trust people who have a PhD. You know, we'll read books on, you know, subjects where the writer is of a PhD, but not so much someone who has experience or just genuine wisdom to share. I think that's one of the things that I could just keep, you know, jumping up and down and screaming when I see any newscast describe his church as, well, so insignificant. There's only 50 members, and they're going down to 30 as we speak, or something like that. That point that you're making there is one that, thank you for letting me speak on that. Because, yeah, I think our groups, our intentions for the better, whoever we are, it doesn't matter what the number is. In my heart.
I agree. And like I was saying earlier, is that, okay, like the Facebook was taken down. Who knows who that high-ranking official was, and who knows what happened behind the scenes? Was he threatened? And if he was, what does that mean for our freedom of speech?
Well, I think it was great in that he kept saying who called him. He was really open. He didn't seem to flinch at all. He didn't change his expression when he said he was called by all these different officials. I find him to be a very courageous man in that sense. He didn't. But he did state that it wasn't until he had the contact from the Islamic representative, the imam there in Florida, that he reconsidered it because he started discussing, well, let's move let's keep the idea of moving the New York intent, the mosque in New York. I thought that was a very revealing aspect in the change of his discussion of this burning of the Quran. And I think he did very well in demonstrating that he's not a kook that the media wants to make him out to be. At least, I want to say, I'm in Northern California, and we get all our news, as you know, it's always filtered with the Hollywood slant. So there you go. You know, it's really hard to get. I love the internet because I can reach you guys. I can reach lots of other great shows on Blog Talk. And I have to search. I have to take the time. I work, but I really, you know, make the time to find as clear as I can the true position of an individual, no matter, you know, what the subject is. And I found that his making that shift and saying, okay, you were all asking me what would it take? This is it. Let's move the Muslim. He's still on the task. He's still on the subject. We are in trouble as a nation because we're sitting down, just like you said, we're sitting on our hands.
Right.
We're sitting on our hands.
Now think of the big picture.
I think it comes across very credible.
I agree. Think of the big picture here is that, okay, like Terry Jones, for example, you know, all these high-ranking officials, including Petraeus, or, you know, please don't do this. You know, we really don't want you to do this. And same thing with the mosque. And these two just get together and go, hey, I'll trade this for this. What do you think? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, all these trained, like you said, educated people, high-ranking officials trying to do something that an individual, just Joe Blow, yeah, okay, sure, fine. I'll agree with that. I won't move it if you don't burn it. Okay, fine. Let's go get coffee. You know, if you think about the implications of that and how probably egg in the face, as you might think, is, you know, here we come with all our big credentials and we're the Obama administration and you're not listening to us. But he says, okay, yeah, sure, fine. Are you following me on that?
I think I am. If you're saying that he only changed his mind until he heard from high-ranking officials, or no, until he spoke with the imam?
Until he spoke with the imam. In other words, until they did the one-on-one together. In other words, both were not going to back down.
Absolutely.
Even though, depending on, even with the pressure from, like, Terry Jones, from high-ranking officials, and imam wasn't going to break down either. And then just two regular people, they just get together and say, okay, well, I'll give you this if you give me that. I guess what I'm saying is that all the negotiations, everything else that they tried to do on both sides didn't get anywhere, and yet it took Joe Blow Citizen to kind of go, yeah, what do you think?
The Joe Blow Citizen being Pastor Jones?
Terry Jones, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
you know,
his reaction to change was, your opinion is?
Well, if, okay, I won't burn the Bible if you move the Quran. I mean, move the mosque.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. He was still staying on the task and saying, our fight really is with the jihadists / Islamic / Muslims, right? He's
right.
Going to listen to these people we are warring with, and that did mean the imam locally. And I think, again, I just thanking God every day that, you know, he is such a courageous man because he has gone the length to reveal the type of people we're dealing with, even locally. Like I heard an interview that we have now homegrown jihadists.
Homegrown?
We have homegrown jihadists. As I stated earlier, women in the Muslim community don't have control over anything for their families. They don't. They don't belong in our country. They don't belong here. That's not our way of life. We protect our children.
No.
We're supposed to. We have power over our family, and the Muslim woman does not. And that's what's allowing these generations to be literally flown. I think that with Pastor Jones being, you know, given the media to say, America, wake up, America, wake up, I think that's the basics that he's coming across with. I think already his destiny is obvious. Right now in the news, we're hearing, you know, the jihadists already have plans to kill him. it's too late. Just the fact that he has said he wants to do this, it's like it's already done. And that's the whole reason why we're at war. Because they are already at war with us. If any of your listeners have traveled outside the United States, in some countries, as I experienced, it's not comfortable to be an American. It's not.
Yeah.
And so,
and why do you feel that is?
That's a simple thing. That's just a cultural thing. Now think of it in terms of the military. I can't imagine wanting to go to, for example, Venezuela. I would not want to go there. Not to vacation. I wouldn't want to spend my money there. You know, parts of Panama, I wouldn't want to go there. I wouldn't want a vacation. Obviously, mm-hmm. certain countries in Africa, certain parts of Europe, we don't really want to be there because there are large Muslim communities. I think we're numb. I don't consider the average American as being dumb or stupid like out of this country the opinion is. I just think we're numb. And the fact that we have higher technology that's isolating us doesn't help, really, for us to pay attention. And I think hearing the passion from your show today has been absolutely, to me, it's been so consoling. It's been absolutely a gift. It's wonderful. And what you said about your representatives in Oregon, yes, I shivered every time I heard them saying a couple of years ago, oh, look, the Oregonians love Obama. I'm going, oh, no, I want to move there. They can't. And you're telling me, the media won't win. You are expressing what the average person feels, I'm hoping, more than, you know, that there really is an intent to change representation in Washington and in your local government there at your state. I really want to thank you again for letting me stay on, and I see the hour is ending, and I hogged a lot of this last part of it. Thank you again, Robin.
Oh, I appreciate it. What was your first name?
I'm Liao in the chat room.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called, Liao, and, given the opportunity to come on and express your feelings. But you are right. Media like this, Blog Talk or blogs, which the government really hates, is a way for individuals like you and me to get out and express our true feelings that's not filtered by the media. Mm-hmm. That's like the fairness doctrine they're trying to put on talk shows. They want to stifle input coming from the people themselves and information going to the people.
Yeah.
So coming on, having these shows like this and you coming on and expressing your thoughts, which is very well done, by the way. Thank you very much. Adds to that, to the freedom that we all enjoy, mm-hmm. and to get our word out there. And the old rule of thumb is if one person says it, 10 others are thinking it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or
thank
where they can.
Thank you so much for showing up today. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate you coming on, and thank you for not making me make this a monologue.
Oh, not at all, not at all. Good thoughts, good energy. Keep that passion going, Robin. It comes through very clearly. Thank you very much, and I'll let you go. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Call again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and like she was saying, it is, shows like this, blogs, any other way to let our representatives know how we really feel. Because if we don't, then we've given up. And that's where our country is going. We pretty much have given up in a way. We've allowed the political correctness crowd to rule our lives. We were even until, and this is kind of a sideline, until Arizona, for example, went ahead and dared poke the stick at the political correctness child and said, hey, like illegal immigration. We can talk about illegal immigration. They are here illegally. They're not supposed to be here. Look what's happening. We're losing our country. On a side note, Ashland, Oregon, for example, as of this the beginning of this year, is requiring all students from the first through the 12th grade to learn Spanish. It's not an option. I have no problem against a second language. I do have a problem with somebody forcing my child to learn the language of the invasion, of the invaders, and 20 million people coming over the borders without authorization is an invasion. We're just thankful that they are not armed. Well, of course, some of them are coming over armed now, and it's, but I'll tell you one thing, I'll make this prediction. Even though as much as we try to pass laws, even though our government gets in the way of it, like Arizona is just trying to pass, the law that they passed recently, Senate Bill 20 or 1070, just mirrors the federal law. And yet the federal government is saying, no, you can't do that. That's our job. Then do it! But they're not going to go away. There's a brief side note. I got 2 minutes left in the show here. A brief side note. I can say this earlier. You know, we're not doing too good financially. And Oregon is really bad here. I can't tell you how many jobs that I was 100% qualified for except for one thing. I'm not bilingual. And when it states there that Spanish speaking is preferred, why bother applying for it? That's where our country is going, folks. We're losing it. If we don't stand up, if we don't tell our officials that we want it back, we want to feel secure, we want our borders protected, we don't want another 9/11 incident, and we want people to come together again like with the way that we used to. I mean, ask yourself this. There used to be a time when you could go outside your house and you knew your neighbors. If you needed help, you could ask your neighbor and they'd come help you. I've lived in my house here since 1990. It's kind of a little suburban neighborhood. I only know one person. I don't know who the other people are here. I lived in North Dakota for 1 year, not too long ago, and they're still the old school. If you needed help on something, all you had to do is mention one person, and a couple days later, you have a crew coming over to help you. That's the way it used to be. In fact, I made more friends in the 1 year in North Dakota than a lifetime here in Oregon. But anyway, that concludes our show. Again, thank you for my caller and the people in the chat room. Again, if you missed the show and you're listening to it on the archives, which is probably why you're listening to it on the archives, feel free to... you can leave comments in the comment section on the, or you can go ahead and send us an email, and we'll go ahead and read it on next week's show. And if you have a suggestion for next week's show, I'd love to hear about it. We're always looking for new things to talk about. Hopefully, I'll have a co-host. Or if you'd like to be a co-host on the show, send me a note, talk@krbn.com. Again, until next week, we'll do it again, 10 a.m. Saturday morning. And again, don't let 9/11 go away, because it really is important. And again, it's a pleasure to talk about it. So, till next week. Bye-bye.
Out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com, or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.